This is August 12th, The Way We Are.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. I hope that this is starting to sink in, this idea that you truly are one with this thing called God. It can be no other way. We make that lovely statement all the time. God is all there is. And then we think that we're separated from God. We think we're outside of this thing called God. That is an impossibility. Because God is everything that you see. God is the only reality that there truly is. So we are trying to make our minds, this mind of ours, accept that as truth. Because the mind that I'm talking about is that little piece of ego mind that we have that tells us that we are different from other people and that we are separated from them. Because we judge by appearances, and Andy does not look like me. So therefore, I cannot be him and he cannot be me. Because that's what our mind does to us. But in truth, in reality, we are all one. So, being a metaphysical teaching, and also because everyone here wants to get out of life what they want. Prosperity, abundance, relationships, creative self-expression, whatever you want from this life. The only way you're going to get it is by realizing that you are one with the creative process itself, or one with this thing called God, that you're not separated from it. So when you're trying to do a manifestation, bring something into your life, remember that you have the power and the ability to do that because the thing that created you, you are one with. And you have the exact same qualities and the exact same abilities to do that. But we allow the world to convince us differently. We allow the world to convince us that there is something else going on. And we fail, although we go to church, although we think of this thing called God, and we say, oh, there is such a thing as religion and spirituality and all. We give it a lot of word service. But we do not really bring ourselves to the realization that this is absolutely true. Because we are afraid to do that. We are afraid to take care of our own power, to celebrate that power, to claim that power, and to use that power. Because we want to be able to blame something on somebody else. So if we have a failure or something, we blame it on something on the outside. So, the essence of this whole teaching, to make things very short, is it's always going to be you. Don't look around for anybody else to blame something on. If your life is not working, if something is not coming to you that you wish, it is because of you. It's not because of this thing called God. It's not because of the world. It's not because of anybody else. It's because of your thinking. It is always going to be your thinking. So when we learn to change our mind, we can change our life. When we learn to see life the way it truly is. So, with that, would you read this card and pass it on?
I am both God and man.
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 I am God and man.
I am both 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 God and man.
And I am both God and man. This is very important to realize. You see, we say that all that I am is God, but I'm not all that God is. And then we think, oh, well, we have to be godly and we have to do this. We're also human beings. We are also men and women. And you have to remember that. So it's God manifests in you as a man, in you as a woman, or in you as a being. But we then start to think, oh, well, that human part of us is the whole thing. And we're only human. You're both God and man, you see. And this is what you have to remember. And then know that you're connected to this thing in the universe. I was at the swimming pool the other day, and a young lady was with her daughter, and she had just gone to preschool. And I said to the lady, oh, how's she doing in preschool, and what's she learning? And she said, she's learning all about Jesus. I said, well, that's handy. And I said, why is that? And she said, well, I sent her there because my husband and I have never been baptized, and we're not atheists, but we're really not true believers, but we thought that our daughter should learn about the man upstairs. Now, this is the world, and this is what most people think, that there's a man upstairs. This thing called God is not a man upstairs. And she was very emphatic about the thing, we are not baptized. You see, the world thinks unless you're baptized, you will not get into heaven. You have to be baptized. My grandfather, who I adored, when he died, we belonged to the Lutheran Church. My grandfather did not. And the minister was there. And he said to me, Dallas, you realize your grandfather was never baptized, therefore he will not go to heaven. I said, you better keep your mouth shut, and if you ever say that to my mother, you won't be around very long. That is absolute bullshit, people. It's absolute twaddle that you need to be baptized to go to heaven. That's a man-made thing. God never yelled down, drop him in the water, please, you know, or sprinkle him on the forehead. Religions are man-made. Please get that through your head. Through your thinking. I don't care how elaborate they are. They're all man-made. All the sacraments are man-made. The stations of the cross are man-made. So, it's a made-up religion. All religions are made up. Now, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that. But what I'm saying is use your thinking power and realize that if somebody says you're not going to go to heaven because you weren't baptized, first of all, there's no place else to go. If you think that you're going to go anywhere besides heaven, give that idea up. When I was a minister in Tennessee, a woman who grew up in the Baptist church said that when she was a child, the minister said to her, was giving a talk, and he said, you'll be separated. And this is in the Bible. The sheep will be separated from the goats. The sheep will go to heaven, the goats will go someplace else. And immediately she thought she was a goat. Which most people do, you see. Most people are not going to jump on the good side of life. They're always going to jump on the bad side of life. So for years, she thought she was going to hell. I said, why did you continue to go to the church if it was telling you you were going to go to hell and you think you're going to go to hell? She couldn't answer that question. That's how convincing the world is. And that's how convincing it was to this. Oh, and here's the big point about the lady in the swimming pool. She's a psychiatrist. She's a psychiatrist. She's an educated person. You see? So that's how this thing just keeps going from one generation to the next generation. No one looks into it. People still think that God is a man living somewhere in this place called heaven. We refer to him as the man upstairs, and we better get on his good side. You're always on the good side of God. There is nothing that you can do to separate yourself from God. There is not one sin that you could commit that God would be upset or angry or leave you. Not going to happen. God always holds you in the highest of esteem. God only loves you. And that is what God does. So you must learn to love yourself. You must learn to love yourself totally, totally. Every day when I'm doing my exercises, my bowing exercises, I pass through my mind, I am the full expression of God's love. Not a half expression, not 99% expression. I am the full expression of God's love. And that's with each and every one of you. You have to realize you're the full expression of God's love. God doesn't do things in parts and pieces and fractions. It's all or nothing, you see. So you have to know that. You're the full expression of God's love. And then start to love yourselves. Start to see that in yourself. You see. So, the title that we're doing this month is The Way We Are. Why are we the way we are? Meaning, each and every one of us has a concept of who we think we are. And the whole idea in life is to change that concept till you realize who you really are. That you are absolutely a child of God, that you are one with this thing that we're always talking about, which we know nothing about. Very little do we know about God. You know, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's what you're thinking that matters. So, think of those things when you're trying to get through life, that you are the full expression of God's love. And the very next thing to remember is that you are being totally taken care of. And this is the one that we cannot accept. We cannot let that go through our minds because we think we have to do something. The only thing you have to do is be. And you have to know that this thing called God is taking care of you and will always take care of you. And when you look back in your own life, you will see many times in your life when you thought that things weren't going to work out, that this wasn't going to happen, that something came along and took care of you. That was this thing called God. You are being totally taken care of. A long time ago, I gave this illustration to you, and I'll give it to you one more time. There was a movie, Anthony Hopkins was living with the gorillas. I do not know the name of that movie. But if you can find it, please look at it and see it. He was photographing and trying to study the gorillas. They got closer and closer and closer to them until they finally accepted him. And then he became almost one with them. And he took off all his clothes and he just sat there with them. And finally, outsiders thought they were rescuing him and thought he was crazy because he was living with these gorillas. So it boils down to this. They said to him, "Why did you do something like that?" He said, "You have no idea the freedom of knowing that the silverback was totally taken care of me. Was totally taken care of me. That silverback watched for everyone in that family, in the gorilla family, including him. All his needs were met. Everything was done. So all he had to do is sit there and be. But he had that feeling that he was being totally taken care of. How many people here have that feeling that you're being totally taken care of? Good. You have to know that you're being totally taken care of. That there is no struggle, there is no strain. That what you want, what you're doing, keep doing, but know that this thing, this power, this thing that we call God is taking care of you and will always take care of you. But we allow our little ego mind to say, no, we must do it all, you see. There's another wonderful thing, and it's not to be used as a trap or to lull you into unconsciousness. But it's an affirmation, I am enough, I have enough, and I do enough. You see, but the ego mind says, no, you need more. You didn't do this. You worked 8 hours, now you must work 10 hours. You did this, now you must do that. You can't take a vacation because of business. You can't do this because of that, because you have it to do. Instead of saying, I can do all this because I'm being totally taken care of, and it will come to me in some way. But it's a little part of our ego mind that not only keeps us separated, but tells us that we must do all the work. So if you'll close your eyes one moment, I would like you to picture in front of you an egg. And it's a raw egg. And you can see the yolk. And that yolk is your ego. And the white of the egg is this thing called God or the universe itself. So you see, there you have a separation immediately. You have the white of the egg, and you have the yolk of the egg. So the yolk of the egg now is your ego. And it is keeping you encased. And you realize, yes, this thing called God is all around me. It's this, that, the other thing. So now using that wonderful gift that we call the imagination, I want you to see that yolk having a small prick in it, and it starts to bleed and blend with the white of the egg. And it's blending with this thing called the universe, with this thing called God. And this is how you view your ego. It has to start to blend. It has to start to bleed in. So that there's no separation between you and the universe, or you in this thing called God. So as the yolk bleeds in to the white, we have what's called a blending. And now you can see that you are blending with the universe, you are blending with this thing God, called God. And now you realize that you are both God and man. You are both God and man. So throughout the day, think of this. Think of the egg, and think of the yolk as that ego that knows it all. And when you're stuck with a problem, with a situation, with anxiety, with any of the things, put a little prick into the yolk, into your ego, and let it bleed or blend with the white. And that white has the answer, because it is the thing itself. You can come back when you're ready. We must learn to think differently, not only about ourselves, but when I say we must learn to think differently, we must learn to think with a different mind. And this is a thing that the ego does not want you to realize. You've been thinking all your life with this particular mindset, with this particular mind that you have. You have to realize that there is another mind that you can think from. You can think from the mind of God. Now, science is starting to realize that there are more than one mind, or more than one brain, maybe, inside of us. We're just used to using this particular one. So start to think of yourself as using a different mind, so that you see yourself differently, so that you start to think God thoughts after it, that you start to see God thoughts after it. When I tell you the story about the lady in the pool, I also saw a commercial. I saw it several times, and it's just horrible. And this is how the world is so convincing. And it's some insurance company. I don't know the name of the insurance company at the present moment. Allstate, I believe. And it maintains now that mayhem is everywhere. That mayhem happens all the time. So you should be insured against mayhem. You should be insured against mayhem. That's pure race mind. Pure race mind. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have insurance, but you have to realize that you are being taken care of. That mayhem does not happen to you. That it may happen to other people out there in the world, but it does not have to happen to you. And how many people have that mindset that something is going to happen? They're always waiting for the worst to happen to them. Why don't you look for the best to happen to you all the time? And say, I don't believe in mayhem. I don't see it out here around me anywhere. And then don't do that. Don't use that mayhem thing. You see? Know that you're being taken care of. The world is going to tell you that you need all this stuff, and that mayhem happens all the time. Mayhem cannot happen if the only thing there is God. Then where is mayhem coming from? It has to come from the ego mind. It's a man-made thing. It's not a God-made thing. So think of those things. Change your mind about the world that you're living in. When you change your mind about the world you're living in, you will change the way you are. If you know that it's a safe environment that you're living in, that this is a friendly universe, that there is something that always wants to take care of you, then what do you have to worry about? It's a wonderful statement, and we used to use it all the time. If God is for you, who and what can be against you? If God is for you, and God is for you, then who and what can be against you? But that little ego mind likes to tell you that it's a hard knock world out there. And it is not a hard knock world. What else does the world teach everyone? That there's such a thing as competition. There's no such thing as competition in the mind of God. God cannot compete against itself. There is only creativity. There is only creativity. So never think that you have a competitor. And if you do think a competitor, say, thank goodness, I want more and more competition, because that makes me more and more creative. But never fear that. There's no competition in the mind of God. No competition in the mind of God. I also told you years ago, and I mention it every once in a while, the idea that words structure thought. You can't think without words. Not an abstract thing. So you use your words to structure your thought. But here is the next step in this idea of words. Words also form your reality. what words are you using? I used to say to people, you have to change your vocabulary. You see, if you still have in your vocabulary poor, that is structuring a reality. Or stress, or strain, competition. If these are in your vocabulary, they are structuring your reality. So words not only structure thought, they structure a reality. People with large vocabularies see the world differently because they can construct a reality. They can construct a different reality. So see what you're using, what words you're using day in and day out. And are they small words? Are they limiting words? Are you using words that will expand your reality? It's a very simple thing, but we don't notice it. We don't notice that. People, this is in lower social economical communities, have very small vocabularies. And it keeps them in that reality. It keeps them in that reality. There was a lady called Florence Shin, who wrote many books. One of the books that she wrote was Your Word is Your Wand. Your Word is Your Wand. So think about that for a moment. For people who like magic, it's a wonderful idea. You're using your words to structure your reality. And it is your wand. Your word is your wand. Makes absolute sense. You can still get Florence Shin's books. They are still published, and they're published, I think, by DeVores. So, and you can get an anthology of all four of her books at one time. She had many, I'll think of them, another one in a minute. No, that's not her. Well, it will pop into my mind, I can assure you, because anything that's in my mind is always there. So it comes back to me. So, anyway, the other night, I went down to see the Pageant of the Masters. Very nice if you want to see that. But here is something that I heard from the narration when they were doing one of the portraits. And it was, love is the answer, which we always hear, right? But he added, love is the answer to the puzzle of life. Love is the answer to the puzzle of life. We think that this is a puzzle. And love is the answer. And I love that when he's put onto the puzzle of life. Because if you're having difficulty in any area of your life, learn to love what's in front of you. And it will solve that puzzle immediately. We'll solve that puzzle immediately. There is no way that we can ever get around that idea. We think that and we give that tons of lip service and we all say, oh yeah, isn't that wonderful? Love is the answer to the puzzle of life, or love is the answer, and love is all there is, and yada, 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 yada. And then we go right about our business, our ordinary daily lives, and completely forget that. And completely forget that. So, this thing called love is not only the puzzle, not only the answer to the puzzle of life, it's the answer to everything in your life. And what is the main thing that you're going to learn about love? You must learn to love yourself. You must learn to love yourself. You must know that you are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yeah. I hope that this is all sinking in, that you really are loving yourselves and that you know that you are worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. When I am out of this place and I'm out there in the world, I see this constantly. When somebody is having trouble, when their life is not working, it's always because of those four items. It's always because of those four items. People do not, till this day, realize that they are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that they matter. You see? And you have to get that through. You have to be able to do that. Another thing that I ran into twice this week, and I've run into it all my life, and I will tell you right now, I have no idea what it is. I always say to the person, oh, yeah. Young man said to me, oh, everything is going wrong. My computer isn't working. This went wrong. The telephone went out. This went, oh, and he said, but you know, Mercury's in retrograde. I have no idea what that means, and I've heard it for years. Mercury's in retrograde. A lady called me today, and she said, oh, this isn't happening, that isn't happening. Mercury must be in retrograde. And I finally said to her, you know, I have no idea what that means. And you know what she said? Neither do I. What does it mean, Mercury's in retrograde? Does anyone know? You know?
Yeah, Mercury is a planet that loses energy, and it's the way the planet's all moving around. It's going the way it normally goes, but because of the way it lines up, it actually goes backwards for 3 weeks, four times a year. So theoretically, that's a good time to go back and revise and reassess and, you know, go back over things and clean up your house and stuff, and then you start moving forward.
All right, so now we know that what that means. But on top of all that, what else does, if somebody says to you, Mercury's in retrograde, what is it?
An excuse.
Well, not only is it an excuse, they've made it secondary causation. They made it secondary causation. God is always going to be first cause. Anything out there, it's all right to do that and have fun with Mercury. It's all right to do all that kind of stuff. It's all right to read the horoscope and all. But if you believe in it, you're giving it power. And it's always going to be secondary causation. So you have to go to first cause and say, nothing affects me. You say, Mercury, I don't care what Mercury's doing. And if you think it's taking, did you say energy? It's your energy?
Theoretically, it's...
Mercury is a planet of communications, and that when it goes back, it's an idea. It's going back. It's a lot of miscommunication for a long time.
Well, anyway, God is first cause. And this thing that we call God or cosmic energy or life is the only life there is. And that's the life that is coursing through you right here and right now. And this is what you have to realize, and forget about Mercury. Have fun with it, play with it, but know that God is going to be first cause. Now, I want to go back a moment and talk about this thing about word structuring thought. You know, 30-some years ago or 40-some years ago, it's so hard to keep track of time anymore for me, but I used to think I was very witty and very funny, and I was. I was also sarcastic. People used to say to me, how are you feeling, Dallas? I'd say, worn out, run down, and depressed. Always worn out, run down, and depressed. Ha, 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 ha. People thought that was funny. I was worn out, run down, and depressed because I kept saying it all the time. When I got into metaphysics and realized that I was causing that, I changed my mind about that. When I changed my mind about that, I do not get depressed. I do not believe, well, I do believe this, that there are chemicals in the brain and that you, those chemicals may not be working correctly. So you may feel depressed, but they're not working correctly because of your thinking. If you change your thinking, the chemicals will do what they're supposed to do. But people want to take a pill. They want to think it's nephrorinsulin or whatever is going on inside of your mind there. It all has to do with you. It has to do with you. It has to do with the idea of words and so forth. So what are you telling yourself? What are you telling yourself? I never say to anyone I'm depressed. I never tell anyone that I'm feeling poorly. You know. I know you think I'm just a paragon of health here. Sometimes I'm not as healthy as I would like to be. I never mention it. Why? Because if you mention it and you start to talk about it, you're going to get all kinds of confirmation. I can wait and it always clears up. Why? Because I know I'm being taken care of. I know I'm being taken care of. I have to have the health of God inside of me. And that has to outpicture itself. And it does not outpicture itself if I dwell on thinking that I'm sick or not feeling up to par or whatever. So it's always going to be your thinking. And it's going to be the use of words. I never say I'm worn out, run down, tired, or depressed anymore. Now, I do get tired. When I get tired, I rest. That's using wisdom. That's using wisdom. But some people seem to be tired all the time, if you ask, you know. They dwell on that. They dwell on that. So, the way you are is the way you and good evening. Look at this. I haven't seen you in how long?
A year.
A year?
2 years.
You were this big. Well, you look wonderful. You're looking more and more like your dad.
Mm-hmm.
So, coming back. The way you are is the way you have created yourself with your thinking. And that you can change that thinking and change who you are. So try to find out who you really are. Try to find out. Say to yourself, I am one with this thing called God. Therefore, I must be some part of it. I must be human, plus I must be God. And then use that. One of the other things that I had mentioned a long time ago, and today it came up when I was putting some notes together, so we'll see if anyone remembers it. How many people remember that we are intentional beings? Intentional beings. Meaning that we did not come through evolution. We were intentionally made to be able to hold our divinity. Think of those things. You were intentionally made. Now, I do not disbelieve in evolution. There is a thing called evolution. At the present moment, we are participating. This is a time, a millennium, where we now have the power to participate with evolution itself. But we happen to be intentional beings. This is why they have never found the missing link. They keep looking for a missing link from when apes turned into humans. But it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. They have been searching and searching for that. And you can go back through the geological history and the layers, the geological layers, and you will see that all of a sudden we appeared. But we also appeared at the same time as the Neanderthals, which they think we came from that. We didn't come from that. So anyway, I just throw those ideas out to you people to give you a bigger idea of yourselves, a different idea of yourselves, and to try to break your worldly thinking habits instead of swallowing what the world keeps telling you. Because the world is never going to tell you the truth. It's never going to tell you the truth. It's not made to tell you the truth. It's made to keep you off center always and to keep you thinking that you're not quite right. It's what the world does. It's not going to walk up and pat you on the back. It's going to walk up and hit you on the head. But this thing called God is always going to be patting you on the back, is always going to be cheering you on, is always going to be taking care of you. And these are the things that you need to know. These are the things you need to know so that you can change yourselves into what you want to be. You see, the way you are, you have the power to do that. And how does one thing that one does to be able to do that? You have to forgive yourself. You utterly have to forgive yourself for anything that you did in the past or anything. Just clear the slate. It means nothing. It means nothing. You see? Most of the things that you think about are unnecessary. We do a lot of unnecessary thinking and a lot of unnecessary things. But if you want to move forward and find this thing called joy, happiness, and bliss, you have to forgive yourself for everything. Because this thing called God doesn't hold anything against you. God has never condemned you. God will never condemn you. And God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. We do that with that little thing we call our ego mind. And we now know how we can blend that ego mind into the mind of God or into the mind of the universe. Where then you can start to think differently. You can start to think differently. So, think of your mind now the way it is inside of this skull, but know that you have other minds going on also, and you can choose to use those other minds. And I believe that this idea of thinking differently, using a different mind, is the whole idea that you must die to yourself. Die to the ego self. And if you, because the ego is what's causing your thinking. We're always using the ego to think. But when you die to that, a new mind is made. A new mind is made. So think, what would it be like to totally forgive yourself? To have a complete new slate and think from there with a fresh mind, a new mind, a different mind that didn't contain all the memories you're saying. Somebody said, and I think it was Buddha, in fact, that all thought comes from memory, that all thought comes from the past. But if you could die to your ego, forgive yourself, let go of the past, now you can start to think from the present moment. And what do we know about the present moment? The only place there's power. The only place there's power is in the present moment. And the present moment is always new. The present moment contains no past. It contains no memory. Contains no past. Contains no memory. I use this quote all the time from Ernest Holmes, and tonight I will put the rest of the sentence together. Learn to think the thought that you want to think. Learn to feel the feeling that you want to feel. And put no precedence on principle. Meaning no precedence on God. God makes all things new. God does not say, well, I did that yesterday and it worked this way, so I'm going to do it again today. And I'm going to use my past to get to the future. That is not making all things new. You cannot make something new by dragging something from the past up. So think from the present moment. Think in the present moment. Know that that's where your power is. And that's a fresh new place to start. There is nothing contaminating the present moment. But your mind is contaminated always with the past. It just gets that way. It gets contaminated. So if your thinking then has to also become contaminated with things. And we do that with this idea that words structure thought and that words create your reality. Because we make big statements. That's the way he always does it. That's the way he always was. That's the way it always is. That's the way. Instead of thinking new. Thinking new. So think from the present moment. And don't let your mind bring up all the past and what happened in the past to get to the present moment. Present moment is fresh. It's new. It has no judgment. It has no contamination to it whatsoever. So you can have a pure thought. You can have an original thought that is not contaminated by the past. So, the way you are because of your thinking. And that is the only thing that is going on here. It's always going to be you. It's always going to be your thinking, not my thinking. All I ever do is throw out ideas so that your mind starts to think differently. Also, so that you're able to give up old ideas, that you're able to give them up. Because if you come here and you have one aha experience, oh, I never thought of it that way. You have learned to think. You have learned to think. Otherwise, you're an imitator. And you're doing what I call an imitation of life. And you're usually imitating somebody else's life. Because you've been conditioned. We've all been conditioned. When I say you, I'm including myself in that, by the way. I'm not above any of this, believe you me. I have a hard time with my mind sometimes. But I never hit myself. And I always laugh. And I always forgive myself. And I always know that I'm being taken care of. And this is what you must know also. You are being taken care of. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you.